not court, or you can join in with us. There's a river of life flowing out from me. It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. It opens prison doors, sets the captives free. There's a river of life flowing out from me. There's a river of life flowing out from me. It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. It opens prison doors, sets the captives. Oh glory, there's a river of life flowing out from me. Bring up, oh well, within my soul.
Hallelujah, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the
We do indeed thank you this morning that indeed your banner over us is love. We thank you, Lord, that you indeed have brought us in to your own precious self under the gospel and under the blood. Thank you, Lord. Indeed, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are safe. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that the blood protects us, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we have security and assurance in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that indeed that you reached out your arm in love toward us. We thank you, Lord, that you are the one that gathered us unto yourself. Lord, as a father pitieth his children, Lord, so you pitied us, Lord, when you came. Lord, and you took us out of the dirt. You picked us up out of a horrible pit. And Lord, you washed us and you cleaned us. And while we were filthy and had nothing in our own selves, nothing good at all, still, Lord, you brought forth gold. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that that gold was only by your merit and by your righteousness. We pray, Lord, this morning that indeed you'll bless each one that's gathered here. And we pray, Lord, that you'll undertake for everyone that's listening here in their cars, even for those that's listening by way of the internet, and for those that's maybe Facebook or some other means, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you'll bless them. And Lord, we ask you for those that's not saved that will tune in. We pray, Lord God, that the conviction power of the Holy Ghost be on the sermon and on the message and everything that's said and done, indeed, that it will convict the hearers of thy word. And Lord, also, Lord, for those that's needing healing, we pray, Lord, that virtue will come from you, even as thy word goes forth in the name of Jesus Christ. And even, Lord, as the woman reached out in faith just to touch the border of your garment, so let those that listen and let us that listen, Lord, reach forth now, as it were, to touch even the border of thy garment, and let us receive virtue from you in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. I ask you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you will indeed have your way. And Lord, we ask you that you bless the one that comes and opens your word. We pray, Lord God, that you'll take the Holy Ghost, Lord, and let come forth from heaven what you would have to be said in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, take control of these earthen vessels, Lord. Lord, for without your help, Lord, there's nothing good in us, Lord. There's nothing we can do. But Lord Jesus, we really need your help. We're depending upon you. And Lord, even as we have sung that little chorus, you are indeed worthy of honor and worthy of glory and worthy of praise. And we bless the name of Jesus Christ. And we say, Lord, there's no name like that name. And Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you've loved us and you give yourself for us. We pray now, Lord Jesus Christ, that this service we commit to you, that you'll bless it for your own precious name's sake. And we ask these blessings and pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to sing a hymn. If you've got your Redemption Hymn Book with you, it is 655 in the Redemption Hymn Book. Wonderful love that rescued me, sunk deep in sin. Guilty and vile as I could be, no hope within. When every ray of light had fled, O glorious day, raising my soul from out the dead, love found a way. Wonderful love that rescued me. My soul from out the take it. Love opened wide the gates of light to heaven's domain, where in eternal power and might Jesus shall reign. Love lifted me from depths of woe to endless day. There was no help in earth below. Love found a way. I think that's wonderful. Praise the Lord. Love opened wide the gates of mine to heaven's domain, where in eternal power and might Jesus shall reign. Love lifted me from depths of woe to endless day. There was no help in earth below.
Praise the Lord. We do certainly give everyone a very warm welcome in their service this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's still no difference in way of halls. We're still not allowed in any hall. So we have to continue on with what we have. And we appreciate what we have got. And you know, my brother Petrus was telling me this morning that on the church webpage, there's about 85 tunes in every service, just on the church webpage, that's not counting the Facebook, how many's on it. So people are hearing the gospel, and that's our desire, that people will hear the gospel and get saved and find the Lord as their Savior. And that's the most important thing for any man or woman, that when they come to face death, that they know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. So we're going to continue on, and maybe I will try and do a communion service some of these Sundays in the cars. We've got a wee vessel we've got with the different wee vessels in it, so each one can have their own because of this whole rules and regulations. So maybe we'll have a communion in the car maybe next Sunday morning if we can. The deacons could pass it round. And we'll see how that goes. But the Lord bless each one that's came anyhow. And I want to give a warm welcome to all those that are listening in and appreciate it, Brother Gary, for the word and song. And the word of God's going to many different places. There's many things to discourage us, but there's many things to encourage us. And we just want to give the Lord all the praise and all the glory. Let us turn to John chapter 12. Verse 32, and then John chapter 3, verse 14. So John 12, verse 32, and I want to take for the text, God has only one provided way. And I did preach from this before, but I want to come at it this morning slightly different. And I trust the Lord will encourage you and those of us that are saved. The gospel should encourage us. You know, on Wednesday night, I took 55 scriptural facts that God restored in the Reformation. Now, as I looked at it and studied it, many of us know them. But the point being, there were 52 things that people didn't know then. That's how darkened they were. And I tell you, we do take for granted the freedom we do have, even in this country, to preach the gospel. And there's countries you don't have the freedom to do it. And we should appreciate the Lord this morning that we have a freedom that we can share the gospel and preach the gospel. John 12, verse 32. For if For I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Then John 3, verse 14, and you can read this in your car, the full of this chapter if you want. It's about Nicodemus. I'll be referring to Nicodemus. John 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Praise God. Let us just bow again for a word of prayer. Our Father and our eternal God, we do thank thee this morning that we have open access from thy footstool into thy very throne room and into thy very presence. We thank thee for the precious blood of the Lamb. And Lord, we wash afresh by faith in the blood of the Lamb of God. And we say, wash us from our sins, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Purge us, and we shall be the kisser. Sanctify us, and we'll praise thy name. Fill us again with thy spirit. Grant us an unction from heaven. Lord, I do take the blessed Holy Spirit to help me. And I thank you that you do. I come against every work of the devil. In Jesus Christ's name, over lives, homes, and families. We ask, Lord, for perfect liberty in the Holy Spirit. We pray you'll speak to the unsaved, that you restore the backslidden, and you'll heal the sick. In Jesus' precious name. And Lord, we will give you all the praise and all the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. Amen. God bless each one wherever you're tuning in from, and each one in your cars. The Lord bless you. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Remember here in John chapter 3, and if you read John chapter 3, you will know that the Lord has been talking to a man called Nicodemus. And this man was a ruler of the Jews. He was a very smart man, a very educated man, and the Bible says he came to Jesus by night. And you know that the Lord Jesus said to him, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And you know that Nicodemus goes into the different things. How can a man be born when he is old? Shall he enter his mother's womb the second time? And Jesus says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. But except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now the Lord proceeds up to verse 14 here. And he starts to show Nicodemus of another heavenly thing here. The necessity of his own crucifixion. And the Lord is saying to Nicodemus, I am going to be lifted up. And I must be lifted up. And I shall be lifted up, praise God. He's showing him the necessity of this crucifixion. Nicodemus probably thought, like most of the Jews, that when the Messiah appeared, he would come with power and glory to be exalted and honored by man. But Jesus tells him that the Messiah must be cut off at his first advent. And he be put till an open shame and be hanged on a tree. And we know Galatians tells us, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon the tree. And the Lord is showing Nicodemus that he's going to be made a curse for me and for you. And he's going to hang on a tree. This the Lord illustrates by a well-known event in the history of Israel's wanderings. The story of the brass serpent. And the Lord here in John 3:14 is showing to Nicodemus that he's going to be lifted up. And this lifting up is speaking of Christ on the cross. Numbers 21 verse 9 tells us, and this is what the Lord's referring to, and Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld a serpent of brass, he lived. And that word beheld means to look upon. And any man that would look upon that serpent of brass from the poison and from the bite would live, for there was life for a look. John 3:14, the Son of Man must be lifted up. That means it is necessary that he be lifted up. It is necessary in order that God's promise of a Redeemer may be fulfilled. The type of the Old Testament sacrifices must be accomplished. The law of God must be satisfied. And a way for God's mercy must be provided. In order for all this to be done, the Messiah must suffer in our stead. The phrase lifted up means to be lifted on the cross. And Jesus was lifted up on the cross. And he suffered in our room. And he suffered in our stead. So that he could redeem us. So we know the word redeem means to buy back. John 12:32-33. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Praise God. Now I want for a moment this morning to look at the resemblances of the serpent on the pole and Christ on the cross. Firstly, as the Israelites were sore in distress because they were bitten and dying from the bites of the poisonous serpent, so is a man in great spiritual danger of dying from the poisonous effects of sin. And the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And just as these Israelites could have died from the bite, and they would have died from the bite, God made a provided way for them. And that provided way was to look on the brass serpent on the pole. There was no other provided way. Joining a system wouldn't be a provided way. Shaking the hand of Moses wouldn't be a provided way. Saying I believe in Moses wouldn't be the provided way either. But they had to look for themselves. Every individual had to have an individual look upon the serpent of brass upon the pole. And when they looked upon the serpent of brass upon the pole, they were cured, they were healed, they were saved from the deadly bite. And every one of us is born in sin. And every one of us is shaped in iniquity. And every one of us is dying from the effects of the poison of sin. And sin brought sickness. And sin brings death. It came from sin. Isaiah 59:2 tells us, but our iniquities have separated between us and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear you. And man's sin puts him at a distance from God. That's what man's sin does. Man's sin puts him at a distance from God. But thank God, God has a provided way. And just as the brass serpent was lifted up, Jesus Christ was lifted up to be God's provided way. Here's another point about this. As the serpent of brass was lifted up on a pole in the sight of the camp of Israel, so Christ was lifted up on the cross publicly. Jesus was publicly lifted up and in the sight of the whole nation at the Passover. And at the time of the year of the great Passover, Jesus Christ was lifted up for all to see. And not only was Jesus Christ lifted up for all to see, but he was stripped absolutely naked. He became a shame, an open shame for you and for me, so that he could bear our shame and bear our iniquities, so that he could clothe us with his righteousness and save us, because he was lifted up to be a shame for me and you, publicly stripped naked, publicly hanged upon a tree, so that we could be saved. And just as the brass serpent was lifted up before the camp of Israel, Jesus was lifted up here on the cross at the time of the Passover. Here's another thought. As the serpent was lifted up on the pole, was an image of the very thing which had poisoned the Israelites. So this funny image of the brass serpent on the pole was an image of the very thing that poisoned them. Do you understand that? It was the very image of the very thing that poisoned them. Even so, Christ had himself no sin. And yet he was made sin for me and you. Made sin for me and you. He that had no sin took our sin. He took our shame. Stripped naked and lifted up on a tree. A man born without sin took our sin. A man that the curse had no right to come upon took the curse so that we could be free from the curse. A man whom death had no grip of, whom death couldn't claim because he had no sin, yet he willingly and freely stepped into death, and he challenged death, and he took on death at the cross, and he conquered both death, hell, and the grave at Calvary because he was lifted up. God's provided way. Romans 3, 8 and 3 tells us, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh. That was something me and you could never do, because we were born sinners by nature. We were born sinners by birth. But Jesus Christ was the sinless, the spotless, the blameless Lamb of God. And he condemned sin in the flesh when he was lifted up. The brazen serpent was a serpent without poison. But yet it was an image of a serpent with poison. And this brazen serpent was a serpent without poison. And Christ was without sin. The thing which we really need to see is that Christ crucified as our sin laid upon him. My friend, you need to see this morning that Christ crucified is a picture of your sin and of my sin laid upon him at the cross. And him counted as a sinner. He wasn't a sinner, but he's counted as a sinner. That's why we say those words, he became us that we might become him. We which were not a people are now a people, because he became us that we might become him. And him counted as a sinner, and treated as a sinner, and punished as a sinner for our redemption. So he was counted as a sinner, he was treated as a sinner, he was punished as a sinner for our redemption. And the fact we see on the cross are punished, our sins punished, our sins punished, crucified, born, carried by the Redeemer at the cross. Now here's another point that we want to see. In one way the Israelite obtained relief from the brazen serpent was by looking at him by faith. This was in the one way that he obtained relief from the brazen serpent, was by looking at him by faith. The feeblest look, listen to this, the feeblest look brought healing to an Israelite. So many times we're trying to get healed, we're trying to get saved, but there is life for a look at the crucified one. There is life for this moment for thee. One look was enough to be healed, and one look today is still enough to be healed. Life for a look, praise God. And the weakest faith, if true and sincere, brings salvation to the sinners. Praise God. John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. By faith we receive eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, because he was lifted up, because he's God's provided way. And I want to say this morning, there's no other way. God has no second way. God has no plan B. This is God's one and only provided way. It's a perfect way. It's the right way. It doesn't need altered. It doesn't need changed. There will be no new message come to bring you a new way or another way. But the message of the gospel is the same and will remain the same, because Revelation tells us it's an everlasting gospel. Lift it up. This verse 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In this verse, the Lord Jesus declares to Nicodemus the great end and purpose for which the Son of Man was to be lifted up on the cross. and the way in which the benefits of his crucifixion become our own. The Son of Man must be lifted up on the cross, that whosoever believeth in him, or looks to him by faith, as the Israelites looked to the bronze serpent, should not perish in hell. And I tell you, that's why he was lifted up, so that we can look to him by faith and have everlasting life, and we'll be saved from hell to heaven. The experience, or the expression, this word, this expression of this word, whosoever, means everyone. Everyone that looks. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, everyone. This shows us the width, the breadth, the depth of God's great offer of salvation. Praise God. The width of it, the depth of it, the breadth of it, we cannot comprehend it. It's like God's love. And it is actually God's love. This offer is to everyone with an exception that believeth. Let me read you this little quotation. Look to the bronze serpent, first forgiving of sins and then healed. As the prophet said, or the poet said, look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. It's recorded in his word. Hallelujah. It's only as you look, you live. So as you look upon this brass serpent, you're healed. And as you look upon this brass serpent, you're saved and you're forgiven. Now I want for a moment to take you to John 53. And I thought this morning, many of these things I hadn't planned to say, because it was on another line of thought, but I felt to bring this out this morning. And everyone knows Isaiah 53, but we're going to read it again in verse 5. But he was wounded for thy transgressions. When he was lifted up, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. All this took place at the cross. And all that happened at the cross. Let me read you this from another translation. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our weaknesses, our sins, our iniquities, our injustice, our wrongdoing. The punishment required for our well-being fell on him. And by his stripes wounds we are healed. We are healed by the wounds of Jesus Christ. Does not sound like 1 Peter 2. Verse 24, he his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Jesus Christ here at the cross was wounded that you could be healed. And just as the type of the brass serpent lifted up, there was salvation and there was healing. Healing from a deadly bite. And I believe this healing's twofold. It's twofold in the fact that it's the spiritual healing that you receive, and also it's the physical healing of your body. Jesus Christ is a savior of the soul, and praise God, he's also a healer of the body. The price he paid when he was lifted up saves your soul, and it can heal your body. Because it's by his wounds, his stripes, we're healed. It's absolutely abundantly clear in the scripture. And the same Lord said to Moses and to the people of Israel, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Jehovah Rapha, one of God's great compound names, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And here we see in God's provided way, God's provided way can never be changed. God's provided way is a way provided for salvation. And it's also a way provided for the healing of your body. And you can expect to be healed while you're here on this earth. Because Jesus Christ has paid the ultimate price with his wounds. You are healed. This is God's word. And this is God's way. It's irrefutable. We cannot change it. We cannot alter it. And it's God's provided way for us. Let me tell you this morning, and I know I've preached this many times, but it'll do us good to hear it all again. And I've cut it down short just to share it with you again. and to remind every one of us again of his wounds. Wounds according to the definition of a surgeon are divisions of the soft parts of the body by a mechanical force applied externally, and they are classified by the different characteristics in five words. And there is five wounds, and I know I've preached a sermon on the five wounds of Christ, and we've read in Isaiah 53 verse 5, he was wounded. And there's five wounds that can be put on the body, five medical wounds, five worst wounds that can be placed upon somebody, and Jesus Christ bore and received all those five wounds. He received all those five wounds that we could be healed, because he was punished by God, not by man. Get it out of your head that man punished Jesus. Man never punished Jesus. The Bible says that God turned his back on him. The Bible says that Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus could have dealt with it all in a moment. Billy Sunday said he could have blinked his eye and 10,000 angels would have took him down to the cross. But don't forget when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He came to do the Father's will because God was making a provided way, and that provided way was Jesus Christ lifted up on the cross. Don't ever try to show me any other way, my friend, for there's no other way. The church is not the way. Self-religion's not the way. Joining this or joining that is never the way. But this is the way that Jesus preached to Nicodemus. And in John 3 verse 15, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord has everlasting life will be saved. It's God's way. Let's go back to these wounds of Isaiah 53:5. A contused wound. A wound produced by a blunt instrument, like a blow by a rod. And you know the soldiers smote him over the face. They beat his face till his face was bruised. The Lord's cheeks were bruised. The Lord's cheeks were bruised for you and for me. Now these things are not a mistake. This every scripture is written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as holy men of God speak as are moved by the Holy Ghost. Micah 5 verse 1 says, now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He have laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. And the Lord was smitten on the cheek. A contused wound. Here's this other wound, the second wound, a lacerated wound. A wound produced by a touring instrument. Laceration of the tissue. Psalms 129 verse 3. The plower plowed upon my back. They made long as furrows. And we're people here that knows about farming. We're in the countryside. We know about farming. And you know when the farmer plows the field, he rips open the field. The scripture said it's time to break up the fallow ground. You're ripping open the ground. You're breaking open the ground. And Jesus Christ's back was ripped open. It was torn, it was lacerated, and the flesh fell from his shoulders right down over his buttocks, and the very hair on the back of his head was clipped off by the whipping of the soldiers at the crucifixion. This is part of the wounding of Jesus Christ on the cross so that we can be saved. This is part of God's way, the only way. No other way. Oh my. What about this third wound, a perforating wound, a deep wound caused by a sharp pointed instrument, like the crown of thorns placed on the Savior's brow? And every one of us today have internet, and you can go on the internet and you can look up the Jerusalem thorn, and you'll know it's a very long thorn. It's not like a thorn over in these hedges here, it's inches in length. It's a very long thorn, and they plotted a crown of thorns, and they placed it upon the Savior, and they took a reed, and they beat the thorns into the brow of the Savior.
and he was pierced with the thorns in his brow. And we know that when we go back to the book of Genesis, that the blood of Abel was shed, and it went into the thorns in the ground, and it cried from the thorns, and the thorns speak to us from the curse because of man's sin. And thorns speak of the curse, and thorns represent the curse. And Abel's blood cried from the thorns to God, and they cried for vengeance to God. But thank God 2,000 years ago on the cross that the blood of Jesus Christ cried from the thorns on his brow to the Father, and it cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It cried for mercy. Aren't you glad that it cried for mercy, so that we could have God-provided way? What about number four, a perforating wound, from the Latin word meaning to pierce through? Psalms 22, verse 16, for the dogs have compassed me, and that's demon powers. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. You see a lot of people up that Jesus was crucified through his wrists. Well, my Bible is clear, and my Bible says in Psalms 22, verse 16, they pierced my hands and they pierced my feet. It doesn't say his wrists or his ankles. People, it's lots of ideas, but if that idea is not the word of God, it's only a man's idea. And you cannot build on an idea. You can only build on a firm foundation, which is, thus saith the word of God. They pierced the hands of Jesus. I'll go further with it. What about after Jesus comes and takes us home to heaven? And we come back with him, King and Queen, and we stand upon the Mount of Olives, and you know that Jesus is going to appear to his own Jewish people. And when he appears to his own Jewish people, they will say to him, where did you receive these marks in your hands? Not your wrists. In your hands. And the Lord will say, from my own people, in the house of my friends. I tell you, Jesus Christ was crucified through the hands because the word of God says he was. And I could preach a whole sermon about the hands of the Lord just now. These are the hands that could touch the coffin and the dead boy raised. These are the hands that could touch the loaves and the fishes, and they fed a multitude. These are the same hands. There's something about the hands of Jesus, and that's why they were wounded. Oh, I haven't time this morning to go into everything about the hands. And I tell you, Mark 16 tells us, lay hands on the sick. Something about the hands in the Bible. And he was crucified and pierced through his hands and his feet, not his ankles or his wrists. The very thing you think of it this morning, think of your hands were crushed. Think of your hands as injured. Your work would cease. You could do no more. And Jesus Christ was wounded and pierced right through his hands. And he's coming again, and they're going to look at them hands. And they're going to see the pierced hands of the Savior. And they're going to say, where did you get these wounds in your hands? And he'll say, in the house of my friends. Look at this fifth wound, an incised wound. A cut produced by a sharp-edged instrument, John 19:34. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith there came out blood and water. Pierced in the side with a spear. These are the five wounds Jesus received on the cross. And I tell you, I don't care who the preacher is. I don't care what degrees he has or D's or any D's. But I want to tell you that my Bible is clear that by the wounds of Jesus Christ I'm healed. and by the wounds of Jesus Christ you were healed. That it's God's word, that it's God's way, that it's God's truth, and no man, no devil, no beast, no anything can change or alter the word of Almighty God. Wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities, the chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I am healed. This is God's provided way. Not many preachers want to preach about healing today. They don't want to ever mention it in their sermon. But I want to tell you that the early church preached it and they practiced it. And I want to tell you that 85% of the last 3 years of the ministry of Jesus was based upon healing. And if we claim we're Christians, we should be like Jesus. We shouldn't be like brother over here, or brother over here, or church over here, or church over here. We're to be like the Lord. It's the Lord we're following. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I believe in a full message of the gospel, salvation, healing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I absolutely believe that this world is facing an economic, financial crash. It's coming. This world's in a condition that it's never been in before. And Jesus Christ is coming again. And every true believer needs to be sincere, needs to be praying, needs to have their lamps trimmed and burning, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Christ is coming again. How shall we be found when the Lord comes? I tell you, we need to be at the Lord's work. John 3:15. The expression, should not perish but have eternal life. This is the message Jesus himself preached to Nicodemus. As the Israelite who looked to the brass serpent not only did not die of his wounds but recovered to complete health. He never died of his wounds, but he recovered to complete health. So the sinner who looks to Jesus not only escapes hell and condemnation, but has a seed of eternal life at once put in his heart, at once, receives a complete title to an eternal life of glory and blessedness in heaven, and enters into the life after death. There's no real death for the believer. Paul says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Death's only a step into another dimension for the real believer. The salvation of the gospel is exceedingly full. It is not just being pardoned, it is being counted completely righteous and made a citizen of heaven. It is not just an escape from hell, but it is the reception of a title to heaven. The Old Testament generally promised only length of days. It is a gospel that promises everlasting life. This gospel is not just a promise of health and length of days, and it is that. But it is a promise of eternal life. For him that hath the Son shall not die, but has eternal life. Colossians 1:13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. I'm going to have to close. I didn't realize the time went. Jesus Christ is God's provided way. There's no other way. We're not to seek after other things. We're to seek after the Lord. Brother, I'm feeling weary. I've got a cure for you. What is it? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Brother, I'm sick. I've got a cure for you. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. This is not a message of hope to the beyond, but this is a message of eternal life. It is a message of length of days. It is a message of health and strength to the able. God's word says, beloved, I wish you above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul does prosper. That's the word of God. I want to encourage you today to look again to the serpent in a type which we know was Jesus Christ. Look to Christ on the cross. Just as a serpent had no poison in it, but it represented one that had. Jesus Christ lifted up, he had no sin, but he took our sin. He took our place. And with his wounds we are healed. You're healed by the wounds of Jesus. Jesus says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. You're saved because Christ was lifted up. Will you look to the Lord today? I want to challenge you. I want to ask you, will you look to the Lord today? Will you look to the man on the cross who was nailed to the tree for you and for me? There's life for a look at Christ today. Let's bow our heads as we come to close. If there's a man or a woman listening in who would hear this message and you're not saved, I want to lead you in a sinner's prayer to Christ. And I want you, if you're sincere and pray this prayer, you'll be saved. Bow your heads and pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus Christ. I recognize that I'm a sinner, lost and undone, bitten by the poison of sin. But Lord, I look to the man of Calvary. I look upon the Savior who was wounded for me. I repent of my sins. I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me in the precious blood of the Lamb. Lord, I confess with my mouth Jesus Christ. I believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead. Save me now in Jesus' name. Keep your heads bowed, even in them cars, your eyes closed. Let's be sincere before God. Now I know it can become familiar to me. No, Brother Tom, that's good. But it's the Lord you need. And I believe God can hear my prayer if it's sincere. And if you need a touch from God in your car, I want you to believe God this morning. Put your hand on your condition. If you're sore somewhere in pain, place your hand on it right now by faith. You take a step of faith. And I'll pray a prayer for you. And you listening in, place your hand on your condition. By faith, put your hand on it. And by faith, I'm going to pray to God. And God's going to do something for you. In Jesus' name. Father in heaven, we know your arm's not shortened. And your ear is not heavy. But Father, we know you're able to save and heal and deliver. Father, I pray for the individual, wherever their hands laid upon their ailment. Lord, I curse that disease. I curse the spirit of infirmity. I command it in the name of Jesus Christ to go from that person right now. Let the pain go from them. Let the spirit of infirmity go out of them in Jesus' name. And they'll be made every whit straight, every whit whole. By your wounds are healed. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. You cannot feel. Your word can't feel. You've told us that if two agree as touching anything in your name, it shall come to pass. You said if we have faith that's a grain of mustard seed, we can speak to the mountain and it shall be removed. Lord, we ask you to remove sickness, remove disease, remove every infirmity. In the name of Jesus Christ, and we will give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. If you've been prayed for and you were sick or not well, I want you to thank God for your healing. God bless you all. The brother's going to come as we come to close and lead us in song. And God bless you all. Tune in again at 4:30 this evening. We will be continuing in God's one and only provided way. God bless you all.
glory, great things he hath done. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son. He gave his life and atonement for sin, and of him the life gave that all may go in. Praise the Lord.
There's no extensions, there's no add-ons or build-ups or any other thing, but Lord, thy word was perfect the first time, and thy sacrifice was perfect and remains perfect even until this time. Lord, indeed we know there is no other way, but Lord, thou alone art that way, for indeed you declared in your word that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, Lord, that you indeed will bless your own word, and Lord, we pray it will prosper where you would send it. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray, and indeed we ask you, Lord, that indeed souls will be saved and bodies will be healed. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Lord Jesus, during this time, Lord, we pray, Lord, indeed that you'll strengthen us and help us to endure. Lord, we need your strength. Help us, Lord, to press the battle to the gate. Help us, Lord, not to be falling asleep in these last days, but Lord Jesus Christ, we also ask for your soon coming return, and we say with the Apostle John, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you as we go. We'll sing a chorus of the Lord bless. And don't forget to tune in this afternoon again at 12:30.